to be back tonight. I told my church there, Fairview Memorial, this morning that it seemed like that my voice felt pretty weak and didn't really feel like I had a whole lot of voice left, but the way I felt in my heart, whatever voice I had left, I just want the Lord to have it and let Him use it. And I feel that same way tonight. God has been good to me. And God has been, He's been far better to me than what I've ever been able to return, what I've ever been able to do for Him. And I'm not expecting, to be honest with you, I'm not expecting to ever be able to repay the Lord for everything He's done for me. And but I do thank Him very much for His blessings. And it's been a great blessing to me to be here with you folks in Victory again in this revival. I'm thankful for those who have been saved. And I want all of you to know that those of you that have been saved, I want you all to know that the Lord owns you. He is the owner of your life. If you've been saved by His grace, He bought you with a price. And because of that, we are to glorify Him in our body and in our spirits, which belong to Him. And so you be servants of the Lord and do what the Lord would have for you to do. I want to read some scripture tonight, if you would care to read along with me, from the 25th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 1, and I certainly do stand in need of your prayers tonight. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And that's reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. I want to speak tonight. This is the thought that the Lord has impressed on my heart. I want to speak tonight and use for a title, Be Ye Ready. There are some things that you and I know. There are many things that we don't know. We are aware tonight that we are going to die. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, Solomon said, The living know that they shall die. I know tonight that I'm going to die, and you know that as well. It's no great mystery to us. It's something that we are knowledgeable about. We know that that day is coming. What we don't know about it is we don't know how. We don't know when. I don't know when I'm going to die. God knows. God already knows the very day that I'll leave this world. We know that the Lord is coming back. Amen. He's coming back. The Bible tells us very plainly in many scriptures that the Lord is coming back. In the first chapter of the Revelation, we read, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." When the Lord's disciples watched him ascend back to heaven, they were their hearts were sad by his leaving, and they got some comfort. There were two men in white apparel. The angels came to them, and they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heavens? The same Jesus which was taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." Amen. The same Jesus. Amen. Not another Jesus. The Jesus that lived here on the earth for the space of about 33 years. The same Jesus that we have already sung about here tonight. The same Jesus that shed his blood there at Calvary. The same Jesus that they took down from the cross and buried, the same Jesus that resurrected and proved himself to be alive by many infallible proofs after his crucifixion, is coming again. Amen. That Jesus is coming again. And we're not looking for anybody other than him. He is coming. Tonight, you need to be ready. You need to be ready, because what we don't know is we don't know when he's coming. There have been people throughout the years, I could tell you some of their names by what I have read and studied. Throughout history, there have been people that have been foolish enough to make it known publicly when the Lord was coming back. There have been some that have even published writings and other things and said, this is going to be the day, this is going to be the date, this is going to be the year that the Lord is coming back. And every one of them that has done that up to this point has been wrong. Amen. Every one of them. Nobody has got it right. And they're not going to get it right. Amen. Jesus said, "Of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So we don't know when the Lord is coming, but we do know that he is. And so you need to be ready. Amen. And you know, the devil, let me tell you what the devil will do. He'll try to twist that in your mind. He'll try to say, "Well, you know, those people can't tell you that the Lord is coming back today, or they can't tell you that he's coming back tomorrow. So, you know, don't worry so much about the urgency that they seem to have when they're telling you that, because they don't know when he's coming." You know what? We don't. I don't know if the Lord's coming today, but let me ask you something. Do you know he's not? Do you know that he's not? You need to be ready. Amen. You need to be ready. You don't need to concern yourself with when the Lord is coming. You need to concern yourself with the fact that he is coming again. Amen. Now, Jesus came here the first time, and he made the sacrifice that was necessary for our sins to be remitted. Jesus shed the only blood that could take away our sins. Amen. He paid the price. He made the atonement. He was the only sacrifice that was suitable to do that. All of the blood of the animals that were spilled all through the days of the tabernacle and the temple, you know, even before that, the blood of the animals that was shed all through time even down to the 1,000 burnt offerings that Solomon offered up there on the brazen altar, though the blood of those animals could not take away sin. Paul said it wasn't even possible. Amen. Wasn't even possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. But what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus was the sacrifice that God was pleased to accept. And when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, when Jesus shed his blood, and you know, sometimes we may even put the wrong emphasis on the shedding of blood. Listen, what Jesus did was he gave his life. Amen. He gave his life. That's what it was about. Somebody had to die. Jesus had to die in order for you and I to be able to live. Amen. And he shed the blood that God was satisfied with. And it's the only cleansing agent that's strong enough to wash away our sins. And so he has been here and he has done that, and I'm thankful for the song that has already been sung tonight. It truly is one of my favorite songs, because when Jesus comes the next time, he's not coming to do that again. Jesus is not coming again to walk this earth and to suffer the things that he suffered when he was here the first time. He's not coming to do that anymore. He's not coming meek and lowly like he did that time. The Hebrew writer in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, it said that unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin. Without an offering for sin, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen. I'll tell you what he's going to do when he comes again. He's coming to get those of us that are his children. He's coming to gather us from the four winds and take us home to be with him forever and forever. Amen. And I'll tell you what, the older I get, the better that sounds. Amen. The older I get, the more that I long for that day. I mean, I'll tell you what, friends, I feel good in my soul tonight. If the Lord wants to give me my flight right now, that's all right with me. How about you? Whatever God wants, that's fine, because I know where I'm going, and I know that that's going to be, well, it's the land of my dreams. It's going to be better than anything I have ever experienced. It's going to be better than any place that I've ever been here on earth. Heaven really going to shine. Going to be good to be in heaven. Going to be good to be in the presence of the Lord. It's going to be wonderful to see the one that I preached about through the years. It's going to be wonderful, friends. You know, right now we know him and we are touched by him and we're blessed by him while we live in this world. But one day we're going to see him. Amen. We're going to see him. Yeah. Every eye will see him. I thought I just don't know, but I thought for many years, well, perhaps, I mean, I thought there was a great probability that I would be one of those alive and remaining when he comes, and perhaps I will be, but you know what? It really doesn't matter either way, whether I'm alive when he comes or whether my body has been laid in the ground and the skin worms have destroyed it, doesn't, you know, the end result will be exactly the same for us as the people of God. Either way, we're going to see his glorious appearing. Amen. Every eye is going to see him. Amen. And every knee is going to bow. Amen. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Boy, I'll tell you what, when he was here, he was beaten. I mean, he was mistreated. He was spit on. But I'll tell you what, he's going to have his day of glory.
Amen.
He's coming, the Bible says, in great glory. And he's going to gather everybody together. And the Bible says on over in this chapter where I have read from tonight, the Bible says that he's going to divide them as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats.
Amen.
And he's going to take the sheep, those that are saved, he's going to place them on the right hand. And the goats, those that are not ready, he's going to place on the left. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. Don't let anybody ever tell you anything other than this. When that takes place, when the Lord comes and makes that great separation, it's going to be final. And there's not going to be any mercy after that. There's not going to be any grace after that. If you're not ready before that hour, you're never going to be ready. There's nobody that's going to get ready after he comes. It's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. Jesus said, I want to finish that. He's going to say unto those on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And we're just going to march in, aren't we? We're going to go. When he tells us that, we're going to go. He's going to say to those on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And let me tell you something tonight, lost friend. If you're still lost in that hour when the Lord makes that pronouncement of damnation, eternal damnation upon your soul, you're going to obey his voice and you're going to have to go into everlasting fire. It'll be too late. Too late. Jesus said, he drew a parallel. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, they were marrying and they were given in marriage and knew not until the flood came and took them away. We read here about how that the Lord had shut the door. And after this, and this verse here, these verses in Matthew 25, it's simply talking about 10 people. Five of them were ready and five weren't.
Amen.
That's the meaning of it. That's what the Lord was trying to get across in this parable of the 10 virgins. And when he shut the door, those that were not ready, they didn't get ready. They didn't get ready. When God brought the flood upon the world, when the water began to fall from heaven and the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and when God shut Noah and his family in the ark, nobody made it in after that.
Amen.
Nobody got rescued.
Amen.
Nobody got saved from that flood.
Amen.
Once that God had shut the door.
Amen.
God had told them that because of their wickedness, because that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually, God had said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, yet his days shall be 120 years, and then I'm going to bring a flood upon the earth, and I'm going to destroy man from the earth. You see, it grieved God at his heart when he looked down and saw how evil that his creation had become. The Bible said it grieved him at his heart, and it repented the Lord that he had even made man. And he said, I'm going to give him 120 years, and I'm going to destroy them from the earth. And he instructed Noah. There was a man named Noah that the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God instructed Noah to begin to build the ark. And he gave him the instructions of how he wanted it built. And Noah obeyed what God told him. And Noah made the ark. And at the end of the time that God had said that he would give, God took them into the ark there, and he shut the door, and the destruction began to come. I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to think about that with me if you're here tonight and you're still not saved. You know, there's a lot of, the Bible doesn't really honestly give us a whole lot of detail about what happened. But I believe that we can very safely conclude that when that began to happen, when that rain began to fall, when the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the water began to come, I believe those people knew, those people that were left outside the ark, they knew it was too late. They knew it. I believe if you would have been there and witnessed such a thing, that you would have heard great moanings and groanings and cries coming from those people. Perhaps they were even bombarding the ark. I don't know, trying to get in. But I believe it was there was a great panic there, no doubt, when that began to happen. But they realized that it was too late. Amen. Too late. Don't ever, let me tell you something, lost friend, don't ever let the devil deceive you in this either. Don't ever think, well, I'll just wait till I see his appearing and then I'll get saved. No. No, if you're not ready, you're not going to be ready. If you're not ready when he comes, you're not going to get ready. That's not what you'll do. That's not what the Bible says you'll do. The Bible says that those that are not ready will cry to the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from his face, because the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? You need to be ready. Lost friend, you need to be ready. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20 says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. You know, we could think about that in, and I have heard it talked about before in that way. We could think about that in terms of a revival meeting. A revival meeting perhaps closing out, and you're still lost and without God. And you can think of that verse there, the summer's past, the harvest is ended, and we're not saved. But friends, I want to tell you the great, what I consider to be the greatest meaning of that is there's going to come a time when it's going to be too late for anybody to ever get saved. Too late. There's going to be a day when the harvest is past. There's going to be a day when the summer is ended. There's going to be a day when those that are not saved are going to continue for eternity to not be saved. In that day, the Bible teaches me that those that are righteous will be righteous still. Amen. Those that are holy will be holy still. Amen. Those that are unrighteous will be unrighteous still. Friends, I assure you that those that are lost in that day will still be lost and be lost for all eternity. Amen. You need to be ready. Amen. You need to be ready. One day, we're going to hear the sound of the trumpet. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what awaits those that are ready. That's what awaits the children of God. We'll meet him in the air, and we'll go home to be with him forever and forever. Amen. Noah and his family, those eight people that were ready, they went into that ark. God shut them in, and they couldn't even see what was happening on the outside. God put a window in it, but it was upward. I believe that was the only direction they could look. when they were in the ark there. God's going to deliver his people. Not one of us will be left behind. God's going to deliver his people from the destruction that's going to come. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter spoke about the flood. He spoke about those days. He said the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But this same world is kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The Bible teaches me in those writings that the Lord is going to come. He's going to rain fire and brimstone down upon this world. It says that even the elements will melt with a fervent heat. The earth and the works therein also shall be burned up. Amen. God's going to just annihilate it.
Amen.
He's going to destroy it. You know what? I'll tell you what. You can look around and you can see it. I know when God looks down at this world now, he sees a lot of evil, doesn't he? He sees a lot of wickedness. I've heard people say, well, you know, what Jesus said about like it would be like the days of Noah. I've heard people say it's not as bad as it was in the days of Noah. I've heard people say, well, it's as bad now as it was in the days of Noah. I'll tell you what, they're guessing. We don't know. We weren't there. We don't know if the day we're living in is exactly like it was in the days of Noah. We don't know that, but I'll tell you what, the Lord knows it, and the Lord in his time is going to come. And we don't know when that's going to be. But I know there's great wickedness in the world that we live in. I know we live in a dangerous world. I know we live in a world that just people just seem like they've gone crazy, don't they? I mean, people are doing things that it's hard to imagine a human being ever doing in the world that we live in today. And I know this, that one day God's going to look down and he's going to say, that's enough. That's enough. That's all I'm going to tolerate. That's all I'm going to put up with. It's time. I'm going to destroy the world, and you can rest assured. You know what? I know you probably have heard this said many times, and no doubt it's true. No doubt there were people that thought Noah was crazy for what he was doing. But you know what? The time came when God brought to pass exactly what he said he would.
Amen.
And the flood came, and God is going to bring to pass upon this world just exactly what he has said he will.
Amen.
You can be sure of this. God will destroy this present evil world. He'll destroy it. When he's going to do it, I don't know. But I know that he will. I know that I'm going to be delivered. How about you?
Amen.
I'm ready. I'm ready. If he comes today, I'm ready. If he comes today, I'll just take my flight, go home to be with God, and I'll be happier than I've ever been anywhere. I'm ready. If you're not ready, boy, I'll tell you what, you're in bad shape.
Amen.
I mean, you're in a horrible condition if you're not ready for the coming of the Lord. If you're not ready to lay down and stop breathing and die, you're in horrible shape.
Amen.
I mean, you're in bad shape. Do you realize how frail that you really are? You know how frail that we really are as people? Well, perhaps it'll help you if it's defined this way. We are so frail that all it takes is one breath for us to leave the world. All it takes is for that last breath. We're just a breath away from eternity.
Amen.
And every breath that we have, every time that your lungs fill up with air, every breath that you and I breathe is given to us by God.
Amen.
He giveth life and breath to all, And in God's timing, He will stop your breath. He'll stop it. In God's timing, I've witnessed several people die. And that's exactly what happens. They're there, they're breathing, and it stops. That's how frail that we are. Just one breath away from eternity. If you're not ready, I hope you realize tonight just how serious that it really is. I pray that God will just arrest your heart tonight, and that you will really know how serious that it is to be lost and in your sins, to not be ready for that which is inevitable. Friends, it's going to come. Whether you are alive when the Lord comes back or whether you're not, one way or another, I promise you tonight that there's not a single person in this building tonight that's going to escape eternity. Not one. There's not a person here tonight, or there's not a person outside of these walls, there's not a single person in this world that will remain living on this earth forever. We're all going to leave. All of us, every one of us, we're going to leave. One by one, we're going to leave. When that's going to be, how that's going to happen, only God knows. You need to be ready. You need to be ready. Be ye ready, for in such an hour you think that the Son of Man cometh not. He's going to come. He's going to come as a thief in the night. When He comes, He's not bringing mercy. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ the first time. When He comes the second time, He's not bringing grace. He's not bringing mercy. He's bringing vengeance. He's bringing deliverance for all of His children, and He's bringing vengeance on all of those that obey not the gospel and know Him not. He's bringing vengeance. He's bringing fire. He's bringing certain destruction upon this world and upon all those that are not ready. That's my message to you tonight, and I urge you, I beg you, be ye ready.